Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellison Show.
Yeah, sometimes it does feel like we aspire for heaven, but we are living in hell, right? Adam Schwarzy, good song choice?
I'm going to be honest, Meg, I love it, but I don't recognize this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Black Sabbath, Heaven and Hell.
Oh, no, wow, that hurts. Okay. Yeah. My apologies to everybody out there.
That's all right. Maybe it's just coming in one ear. So I assure you that if you were in the car with me, I'd have it cranked on full volume. I talk about that often. There's just some songs that just don't sound good unless they're at, you know, max volume.
Yeah.
All right. So we've had a great conversation this morning. It's something we talked about off air and something that evidently I struck a nerve with a Karen that listens to the show. And I shared I shared a theory, or at least an opinion of someone else, a lot of someone else's initially, we've been talking about conspiracy theories. We've been talking about being skeptical or cynical of our own federal government and the attack on the music concert hall in Moscow, and the idea that perhaps it wasn't just terrorists or, I don't know, ISIS that was responsible for it, but perhaps there were other, the West is somehow responsible for it. How do you respond to that?
I would respond that ISIS has claimed responsibility for it.
All right. Well, there you go, dispelling another...
If a crook, pleads guilty, I'm going to believe the crook.
Have you seen there are those that are out there claiming or asking the question that perhaps there was some sort of U.S. involvement in this, and it was a message to Russia that they need to back off on Ukraine?
That I can... That's a little further out there than, you know, like the bridge thing. And to be clear, I think that is a very healthy for all humans to question the normal stance.
The narrative.
The narrative. I think that's very healthy. That's how we actually get scientific progression, is people are like, oh, if we sail in that direction, we're going to go off a cliff. And then somebody's like, well, let's actually figure this out. Why is that ship disappearing but coming back? Oh, maybe the Earth is round. Oh, cool. Then we can prove that, and we expand our knowledge base. So that's how we gain knowledge. So I respect people who have a healthy dose of skepticism. But for this specific instance, that is something that, you know, from working with the United States government and very classified things, and if I didn't have privy to that specific mission set, but I can say with a 99.99 to the infinity degree that this was not a USG, United States government led operation. So it is still possible, but I can, that is not something we do. And why would we do a terrorist attack? Like, the motives for that wouldn't even make sense. And again, I fall back to Occam's razor. What's the most likely hypothesis? Well, when you have a terrorist network that does this for their MO around the world, and then they claim responsibility for it to the international press, not like, you know, the U.S. press, they've claimed internationally that they did this, why wouldn't we believe that's what happened?
Well, all very logical conclusions. So what I want to ask about is, what was the Islamic radicals, besides the obvious, what was their motivation for, why Russia? I mean, why at this time?
I mean, Russia's been getting terrorist attacks, I would submit, even longer than the U.S., back from the Chechen era. That's when, you know, they've had to lock down and do a lot of different things. Because, if you look where Russia is geographically, all like that weird turmoil that happens in the Middle East and in those Caucasus regions, that's all on their back door, right? So, again, the plug for me on this is not, hey, this could be a red flag operation, or, you know, a wag the dog type thing to get us off track of what really matters. I think this is exactly what matters, in that we have, you know, more people that have been illegally entered the United States than we've had born here under this administration. We don't know who the majority of them are. I don't want a 9/11. I don't want the Russian concert attack to happen on U.S. soil. And that is an increasing possibility until we fix the southern border. That is the so what from the Russia thing to me, is we really need to talk about, hey, this could happen here now because we've got so many people coming over in a free flow environment. And this is why people don't trust the administration. They're like, you know, how many times has America heard that it's not an open border? I mean, clearly it's an open border. Like it's very clear that, you know, we've had at least 8 million people that we know about. The true number is unknown because it's so vast. But we've had I don't want to misquote it, but it's like 30 states, the populations of like 30 states that entered the United States illegally, and we don't know where they are right now. That for me is very scary, and that's why that's the whole the terrorist event in Russia, the concert. That's the so what for me on that.
Well, and I mean it's a fantastic point, and I guess what I am left thinking about, and I mean honestly. If we would all make that conclusion and then turn this back on to the Biden administration and ask the Biden administration and Democrats, what specifically are you doing to prevent
and
this
Republican.
Kind of thing? And okay, yeah, sure.
And Republican.
Yeah. What specifically are you doing to prevent this from happening in the United States?
Yeah, that's the real question. That's what we should be highlighting. As a team effort, as a bipartisan effort, what should we be doing? The Democrats have been, you know, leaning into this message, this failed ideology that, you know, no humans illegal, there should be no borders. That is what the base of the Democratic Party is pulling the rest of that team towards, is, you know, there's the moderates, but they're slimming down, especially I would say on the left. I truly believe that on the left, they're sailing that boat further left than the Republicans and conservatives are on the right. And their base is there should be no borders, no humans illegal. We can just carte blanche, take as many people in this country that can physically get here. That is that will lead to a failed nation at some point. It will lead to a transformative reshift of American values, of what we stand for, what we've done. It will break down America. And on the right, I call balls and strikes. I feel now that the Republicans, they're using this as an easy bludgeon on the election cycle to specifically not work the Biden administration, not work as a congressional team, not work as a Senate team to pass legislature that will help the status quo. The Republicans now, and it's tactics. I understand that. It's an election cycle. I get that. But they're saying, hey, President Biden, just solve everything with executive action, which he could, by the way. But I think that both sides are not playing. They're not playing transparency. I think that's again why we don't trust America.
Well, and I guess even a deeper question in all of this is that how are we preparing ourselves for Islamic terrorism in the world?
We're not.
Yeah. Right. And
we will have another 9/11. Or we'll have a Russian concert, or we'll have, God forbid, we have like an Israeli attack where it's on a much larger scale that's much more complex. We will eventually have one of those events unless we pay more attention to our borders and national security internally.
And, you know, it's interesting because I don't know, I guess I haven't really been following the coverage of this attack by the mainstream media, but wouldn't this garner some sort of sympathy towards Russia? Or is it because Russia is the bad guy in invading Ukraine that, you know, they overlook it? Because,
yeah, I mean, I think you just answered your question. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Funny how that works. Okay, so I just saw this on social media, and I want to share it with you. It's kind of breaking news, Adam. It's a rare photo of a flying saucer watching Bigfoot riding the Loch Ness Monster. So,
so
the lesson in all of that is we do, even here on the right, we do have to be discerning. And honestly, there are news sources on the right that I deliberately stay away from because they have proven to be inaccurate and have spread misinformation. I hate using that term, but we do have to be discerning and, I don't know, methodical, logical.
Meg, I consider you a pretty good friend at this point, but I would respectfully disagree with you on that point.
Really?
Yeah. So what I try to do is I specifically try to find as many news sources as possible, information sources, not even news, information sources as possible, including the extremes. There's a really good quote that I don't have on the tip of my tongue right now, but just because you approach it, an opinion and you embrace it and look at it does not mean you accept it. So I want to see all the fringe things. I want to see what the people are saying. I want to do a pulse, a litmus test. And that for me, a lot of time I spend myself on like the far left and the far right information sources, gathering information. But then if I can understand, you know, those perspectives, I know how to deconstruct them and talk in a way that hopefully is not divisive, but say, hey, I understand your perspective, but this is the other information that is, you know, the tin man, the strong man, the rebuttal to why that perspective is not likely correct.
Okay, so I have probably
don't stray away from like taking on the information that you don't believe in. I think that more people need to embrace exposing themselves to information that are not aligned with their values, so they, you know, get a more balanced perspective on things.
Well, and I think we agree on this. I just wasn't effectively communicating it to you, which means probably the rest of our listeners in here. But I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying we can't just automatically assume that because the source is on the right that they are accurate.
I mean,
I think
correct.
We have to be discerning, because I think that, and I've seen this here in Wisconsin, there are certain news sources, shall we say, and I mean, I'm not talking about those on the left. They, you know, they're a whole different, there's a whole different judgment about them. But I'm talking about even those that claim to, you know, those that we would tend to agree with the majority of the time, when they run with these crazy conspiracy theories, and then there are people that automatically jump to conclusions about, that Republican is a rhino and is doing that because this news source told me to think that way. And I mean, we can't be, I think we have to be very careful about being guilty of that, which
do your own research.
And guilty of that, which we indict the left on, you know, those that just blindly follow the mainstream media, because I mean, we have our own sources. Conservatives have our own sources that we have to verify and then trust.
Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we don't have much more time, actually, but I wanted to, I know this is sort of, I don't know, it's kind of fluffy, but not really. I mean, I guess it sort of goes along with what we were just talking about, and I know you might roll your eyes about it, but it was in the news, and this announcement by Princess Catherine about her health complications and the fact that she's got cancer and she's undergoing treatment. And I guess it's another lesson in how everyone, it seems, before she made this, you know, she recorded this video and discussed very, very personal information about herself, that people were jumping to conclusions about Princess Catherine. I don't know if you followed this.
I actually follow it pretty closely. I don't know why, but I have a little bit of not obsession, but I've always thought it fascinating. Essentially, the monarchy and how you know, we don't have that in the U.S. and you know, the background history is a little bit fascinating, and I'm enamored with it. I think that this is hopefully some lesson learned for the media and the news, who all have pie on their faces. And, you know, I'm going to call it a spade a spade. It was a lot of the leftists and the news media. I think Stephen Colbert might be getting sued right now, because he was insinuating that there's a cheating scandal, and that the prince was cheating on the princess. And that's why all of this, you know, was happening. Just very gross things to state, unsubstantiated. And it turns out this poor, lovely woman, who was like a darling world over, has cancer and was trying to battle it privately. And that's why these things were being constructed and put out there, because they wanted to battle cancer in privacy. How dare they? And now they're having to backtrack from all these really gross and disgusting narratives that they put out there. And I also realize there's, you know, with fame comes, you know, that burden. But again, I think it's just really gross that we're in this day and age where in the absence of information, we take these narratives that are really unsubstantiated and just ruin people. I mean, it's really sad, but hopefully I doubt it was a lesson learned.
Right.
But in my mind, that would be like a pause for, hey, maybe in the future we don't just say these things flippantly about somebody, but probably not, frankly.
Well, and I would say, even on our side, and we'll conclude with this, is that the criticisms of Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher that are being heaped on him by those on our side without having information about personal issues.
That's sad too.
Yes, that he.
Yeah, who knows what's going on in his life?
Well,
we don't know what's going on in his life.
Right, and I mean, I have some information that I'm not going to share on the air about, I've been advised that it's actually. I mean, the way that I view it is that life is too short, and family comes first always, and for Republicans who have that same point of view about putting family first, shame on them for making these judgments about him without having complete information and without trusting that he made the decision that he made based on what's going on in his family's life.
Yeah. Well, but besides that, are we the party that forces people to work against their will? That to me, that's slavery. So if you want to resign, yes, it's less than suboptimal, but you can quit your job in the United States of America because we don't have slavery, unless you want to be the party of forcing people to work. And I understand there's an oath. I understand there's a promise. I understand there's constituents. But yes, what you just said, there's other factors that are always going on behind the scenes. So instead of being quick to judge, especially somebody on the conservative side, maybe let all the facts come to light. But at the end of the day, even if there wasn't substantiating circumstances within that congressman's family, are we the party that forces people to work? I would submit no. We're the party of freedom of choices.
With friends like that, who needs enemies, right? Oh,
yeah.
So Adam Schwarzy, as always, a delight. Time flies when you're having fun, and I appreciate us always. At some point, we will get together during the week and have our conversations. Look forward to next week.
Thanks, Mike. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too. Happy Easter.
Thank you.
Thanks. We'll talk again soon, going to the 10 o'clock news, followed by my next guest, and I promise I'll get to your calls on the other side of the 10:30 news. Ed Delgado is joining me. He hosts a podcast here in Wisconsin, as well as he's a conservative activist. I encourage you to continue to tune in on the Meg Ellison Show on WSAU.